Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This ad is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. Their mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. One thing Nat and I do well is have fun. Fun is our chance to let loose, be silly, connect with friends, and live in the moment. Whether it's in our backyard with family and friends or on tour with all of you, we will never skim on a fun time. And you know who else doesn't skim? ByHeart, especially when it comes to your babies. ByHeart is the only American-made infant formula with globally sourced ingredients to use organic, grass-fed whole milk without a drop of skim. Whole milk is full of healthy fats like naturally occurring MFGM, which play an important role in babies' brain development and growth. And you know what else they don't skim on? Protein. Their patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk thanks to the two most abundant proteins found in breast milk, plus broken down proteins. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code unfiltered20 for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply.
I know that there's a lot of women that say that when their partner, I think it, sometimes we hear it goes both ways, which I'm sure, when their partner is not having sex, they are just not in a good mood. They don't know how to like actually perform as a normal human being. And they actually have to have sex to be able to like be themselves, have fun, work and live life.
And be in a good mood.
Is that a real thing?
100%.
Why?
Well, what's your thing?
Don't you get on me.
You have to. Everybody's
no,
got
I
their
don't
thing.
Don't you do that
Everyone's
thing.
Got the thing that they
no,
have
I don't want to know
do.
About my thing.
I know your thing.
No, I don't want to know about...
I know your thing.
I know what my thing is too. I don't want to know my thing.
Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
Natalie, what do I do?
I hope it's giddy giddy.
Okay, guys, this is Kat and Nat Unfiltered, and this is so exciting because we have a guest in our brand new studio. It is Shan Boodrum. Am I saying that right?
Yes!
Good, because like I kept saying it, and I was just like, I kept looking on like your stuff for someone to intro you, so I didn't like say it wrong, but I'm like, if I just sound out words, I usually get it right. She's internet's most sought after certified sex educator, coach, relationship expert with over 100 million YouTube views. I'm sure it's just continuing to grow as you are growing. You have mainstream coverage across all major media networks, ABC, Good Morning America, The Talk Real, The Real, The View. You are currently the host of Hung Up from Headspace Studio. Hung Up from Headspace and the Ambie-nominated podcast Lovers and Friends. You can watch Boodrum now as a reoccurring expert on Netflix, Too Hot to Handle, and on Peacocks, as a sex expert on X-Rated with Andy Cohen. Holy shit, you are busy. You have so many jobs.
Thanks, friends. You forgot the most important part of the bio.
Mom,
previous Kat and Nat guest.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
You know, because, and a mom.
Yes.
That's huge too.
That's a big part of the bio too.
I feel like we don't talk about that enough, is that when you're working and a mom, there's so much that goes into, like, a lot of our listeners are moms. We're doing ours first, right? Before our moms. And I think that they had babies a lot longer ago. Is that a word? A lot longer ago. A lot longer
meaning ago. Like her babies are younger.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I find that the permission to have your life and babies is so different than, So 10 years ago, it's like you were a bad mom if you went and did something. Now it's like a curse and a gift that you almost have to do everything. You know what I mean? Weird thing you're either apologizing for doing something. Like, have you found that? Or are you like finding the struggle of the both hard or not hard? Like having a life, doing all these things and having a baby.
Such a long answer to this question, as we know.
Yeah.
It's ever evolving. But I was going to say that I found the permission part is not just in a matter of people understanding that you have to work, but people getting that you have a kid. Like my kid's here today.
Yeah.
Upstairs on your trampoline.
Yes.
So
that's
a big thing too. I remember I have a show coming out. I just want to add this to the bio too.
Yeah,
it's called Marriage Pact, and it's coming out on the Roku channel. And that opportunity came around and my baby was 2 months old.
Oh.
And they were like, we have this big opportunity for you. It shoots in Colombia. You'll be gone for over a month.
Are you interested?
And I was like, yeah. And they're like, oh, tell me more. They said, okay, well, we know that you have young kids. How do you feel about going and traveling, you know, knowing that you have kids? I'm like, I feel great about this job and coming with my kids.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not coming if I can't bring them.
Yeah.
They said, we'll figure it out. And I find that happens a lot now.
You're right, because I feel like we were stuffing them in closets and being like, don't talk, don't. And I remember when at some point there was too many of them and we're like, we have to stop apologizing that we have children, because that's why we're here, because
welcome.
It's called mom truths. Like, that's what we do. Yeah. So if we're pretending we don't have them, then like, what's the point of this whole thing? Like, you want us to be these things that aren't actually moms, but we're moms. So these are our children that are with us.
Okay, a couple questions. Has the show filmed? Have you been to Colombia and back?
I've been and back.
And you brought the kids?
And I brought the kids.
So one question on that, like, because I know that we had such a hard time when we had so many babies and an opportunity would come, and we felt so lucky that the opportunity would come that Kat and I never said no. And we pushed ourselves and we pushed ourselves. And sometimes it was really hard. Like, I remember going on a TV segment, and I think I had my baby 2 days ago, and on the segment I was still bleeding and I gushed out and I ran off.
By the way, it was a company that we owed, and they weren't like, don't come. No. Like, you just had a baby.
Like, you
have
to get
this out. It was like, you owe us. You owe us. So come and do. This was 9 years ago.
You better call this company out.
I can't even remember which one. I just remember going and I was like, this, it was like, you're in a fog.
But I was also, you know what, as a woman and a mother, I also didn't make my place to say like, this is unrealistic. I was always like, we can do this. We can do this. So you had a freaking 2-month-old baby when you accepted that. Is there ever like a point where when moms like are thinking, do I push and do I take the opportunity? If I don't take it, do you have the feeling if you don't take it, it might not come back?
No, I don't have that feeling. I think I just genuinely feel like if it's for me and I'm the best person, they'll figure it out. And that's a luxury of being in this space. I've been talking about sex and relationships for over 15 years, since 2005. So I've been in this for a long time, long enough to know that things ebb and flow, and that there are seasons where things are in flux, in overdrive, and there's times where things are dry. And I choose not to.
You say that, and like I'm like, dry, fucking dry.
And I don't pin myself to that, right? I don't take it personal, right? There's just demands for different talents or different voices at various different times.
That's true.
I think once you've been in something for long enough and you see that natural curve, you stop taking it so personally. Like, well, if I did this or if I did that, it'd be different. Sometimes you could do all the right things and none of the opportunities come to you.
That is so true. I still feel after all these years, like when you're saying and you're so comfortable in that, I still feel like I don't want to pass up an opportunity because I'm afraid that if we pass it up too much, someone else might take the spot and there might not be space to continue making the money and growing the business.
Yes.
But you feel more comfortable in your place.
Yes, I just do. I don't know. I think I feel grateful that I entered into a career that the OGs, the most successful people in my career, were like 90. Dr. Ruth and Sue Johansson.
Yeah.
So it's not as if I'm entering into a space that's like an age race. So I'm like, okay, there's always time.
Right. So your space isn't crowded.
it's not crowded and it's not age contingent, I feel. And I feel the more life that I acquire, the more relevance I have. And then I feel comfortable with younger people taking my spot because they can speak to a demographic that I can't anyways. And if I come back at 45, 60 years old, there's a whole other audience of people who are looking for that kind of community and that kind of support. And the one thing I don't compromise on is that this is like the ugly part of my life right now. I'm still in school. And I don't stop, can't stop, won't stop, because I'm like, I have to continue to get better at my craft.
Now, what is it that you're in school for right now?
I'm getting my master's in psychology.
Okay. And I just, you know, but I just want to stop. That is such a good perspective that you just had. And I think a lot of people need to think about that is like she's saying that when you're younger and you have small babies, you're speaking to people that are having sex in that place. And then you come back then
and relationships.
You'll keep
longevity if you can evolve, because the people who are still talking about what isn't relevant to you, it's not passionate and it's not something that you can storytell.
True.
And you're a storyteller at the heart of it. Content creators are storytellers now you're going to have you have degrees to back it up. But I think it's the perspective of, if we don't change and grow, then what are we doing? Like, you have to change and grow.
It just reminded me of something. I was at the baseball field with a mom, and I feel like now we're at the part where, like, our youngest, there's people who that's their oldest, right? So now we're like the older moms. And she said, I can't watch some of your mom truths because it scares me. I'm dealing with like toddlers and I'm dealing with babies. And when you talk about teens, it's overwhelming for me. And then I thought to myself, you know, I had that moment where I'm like, are we no longer relatable to babies? And then, you know, it's like, we talk
about not.
It. It's like, no. Yeah. And that's okay, because somebody else will go and talk about it. We're not fucking talking about Fisher Price anymore. You know, like,
yeah, it's okay, I want to take a quick
break. So much about sex, but it's just...
I want to take a quick break, and I want to add, because this will lead into the conversations of children, but we'll take a quick break and we'll come right back.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
So we have our youngest is 8 and our oldest are 14, and right now,
congratulations,
almost 15.
Can't wait. Eight was actually my favorite age to be alive.
What, you remember being 8?
I remember being 8.
Don't tell me that.
This is awesome.
So I feel like my daughter's like that. She like thinks she's the most fabulous.
She's
like,
having the best time
she's
of her
like,
life.
She's like, everything's like a mate. Like she's like, I am so, everyone loves me. I am so popular. Like she just loves herself to the thing. But it's so funny. I had the conversation with my husband last night. I said, you know, right now, my two children are taking up every piece of my capacity, right? The two older ones, because as they grow, it really, and it's so cliche, but the problems grow, right? Because you're no longer in a contained environment where it's just you and them, right? So they go and get their lives. They go out and have, like, bigger issues come along. And I said, you know, there's no space for you, right? Like, there's no space for him right now because I'm so busy. Like, basically, it's like triage, right? So if your kids are not okay, you begin to triage the importance in the in the house of what's most important. And I was like, I'm so thankful that you're supporting me and being able to be this mom right now because I can't, there's no,
I know you weren't trying to be manipulative in that conversation, but I like what you're doing, what you did from there. Thank you so much for supporting me.
Well, because I don't have time to go on a date. We can't go on a date because I have a child who is like, you know, I can't go on a date. We can't, like, sex is the least amount of things in my mind. Like, at the end of the day, I'm like, I want to go to bed. Like, I don't, like, I have dealt with doctors all day. Like, I do not have a moment in me to want to have sex, but like, he would. What the fuck is that? That some people just don't, was their brain, like, is it not connected? Like, do they just not, like, are people built differently to the point where?
I mean, testosterone, so yes.
Really?
Yes, yeah. Their drive is different. Just like your drive as a result of estrogen is probably different. So not thinking of ourselves as mangroves who are isolated from our body, but our body is with us and a part of us and it influences us. So I think that probably is logical, or that just might be his stress coping mechanism.
Sex.
Yeah. I mean, orgasms do incredibly amazing things for the body and they have insurmountable health benefits. People go to sleep is a big one. So maybe that's how he gets to sleep.
Here she goes. Oh God. Whenever people talk about it, like, you know,
it makes sense.
But question, if one of his stress mechanisms is to have sex as his partner, is that part of her responsibility to help him through that?
He was given a hand.
I want to know the
answer. He was given a hand.
No, I want to know Shan's answer, not your fucking answer.
I think that the ten poles of a healthy relationship are self-insight, emotional regulation, and mutuality. And I think that they go in that order. So self-insight is knowing yourself, knows what worked best for you. The oxygen mask thing, you got to put the mask on yourself first. So you're at the best when you work well for you and do what's best for you. Emotional regulation is acknowledging that just because you feel something doesn't mean you say something, and also communicating to your partner what is really important to you. Not every single thought you ever have in this whole entire world, just like with your friends, you regulate to say, okay, what really matters and how can I communicate that?
Okay.
And mutuality is I scratch your back, then you scratch mine. So there is an element of...
I want to know more about the scratch back.
Yeah, because that sex could fall into that.
Yeah.
But if it goes against the self-insight component where you recognize that for you, it's just such a low priority and you're so bogged down and it feels like a betrayal of self, or that you have to lose out on a higher priority in order to fulfill this priority. It's not that high for you. That's where that wouldn't be part of the mutuality practice. So I think the short answer is, if it's a part of your negotiations for your relationship, I do think it's a part of it. I think it's in my relationship, we do have a rule where we don't turn each other down for sex, but we started out as fuck buddies. So like the basis of our relationship is sexual compatibility and like sexual connection. Similarly, as if I got together with my husband because I wanted somebody who made more money than me, that'd be a big deal if he stopped wanting to go to work, because I'm like, this is kind of why we got together, right?
I mean, we were long distance, so...
So that wasn't it.
Sounds like he needs to go traveling. No, I'm joking.
No. We both were long. We never lived with our husband. Like, I never lived with my husband.
We're both long distance.
We were
the agreement of what makes your romantic relationship romantic? Like, when you get together with somebody,
there's something about your relationship
that makes it different from the one you have with your mom, one with your kids, one with someone else.
Like, my mouth is dropped right now. Like, I am like shocked at this question. Like, literally, I'm like, I don't know how many people can answer that question.
Like, what is the romantic thing that makes you, like, makes...
Can you give us some examples?
We can even take romance out of it. What is the thing?
Give me some examples of what it would be.
Finances, sex, companionship, the ability to carry the heaviest parts of yourself that you don't reveal to anybody else. Physical affection, period, just cuddling. could be flirting, could be parenting. Like, that's the thing. The reason we got together and we said yes to trying for forever is because we were both equally as passionate about being kids. The reason that we said yes to being together forever is because I wanted a financial supporter and you wanted to support somebody. So, like, that's our dynamic. Like, that's the basis.
What if they, so do you think that, what if you never had that conversation? Yeah.
Well, number one, what if you never had the conversation?
I think you inherently know.
But do they, do both people know that? Like, let's say in the case of like for the guy, he's like, okay, yeah, I want to build a family. I want to do that. But at the end of the day, I want to have like I want to have a regular sex life with a woman who lives in my house and sleeps in my bed. And she's like, that's great and all. And I want to start a family and all
bacon.
That. But also like, I want someone to, bring home the bacon.
Yeah.
Do people always know that?
Maybe they don't. I mean, I know that in my relationship. So
no, I think you're saying something that people are like, because again, I think that 10 years,
it can change, I think, over time.
Yeah.
So
let me
ask the question. What was the reason?
I was like, don't ask me. I'm like, I'm thinking if like Mark would ever be like, why did you marry me?
God, I can't believe we're having this conversation right now. I feel like I'm in therapy with you and not my husband.
Well, I was just thinking
like,
to myself,
talking about this.
I was like, when you sit down and you think about it, I'm like, what do we get from the marks that we don't have?
You know, I know why I married him, and I think it's because like he's so loyal. Like there's no, like he's like basically like he carries like I needed this done for you today. He literally stayed up till midnight on Sunday to get it done for me. Like he cleared everything out. Like
he's a hard
worker. When do you need this by? Like he's a very selfless partner in terms of putting the kids and I ahead of him, which is a fault and again double sided. But he's like, he will take care of us at the sake of everything else. Like there's nothing
you'll
else.
You'll be taken care of. You'll have a safe,
always
consistent life.
I will have a safe, consistent life forever where I know I'll be number one in not a way where he needs to, but it's almost his love language. Like, you know, it's not for a martyr purpose. Mm-hmm. It's what fulfills him. So probably I would say that's it.
Has that stayed consistent?
Oh my God. Yeah. Like literally. Yeah. Like you should have seen that he worked 48 hours to get this done for me, you know, for no other reason. So I would say that would be.
Why do you think he married you?
A good man.
I'm so fun.
You're hot. You got good boobs. I know that's what you
think. I think I bring in like unpredictability. Yeah. Yeah. Is that a word? Unpredictable.
Yeah.
I think that's fun. I don't think he'd say that, but.
That's what he comes to you for. He comes to you for like the spice of life.
Yeah. And I think I'm consistent. My mood is very, you know what you're going to get with
me.
I
don't think he would say you're consistent.
I think I'm like.
Your moods are consistent, but as a person, I don't think our husbands.
But you're emotionally safe with me.
Yeah.
I'm never going to yell at you. I'm never going to get mad at you. I'm going to tell you where you stand with me at all times.
Yeah,
you're never going to have to guess like, oh, how are you feeling with me? Even if I'm not sleeping with you for a little while. You just need to.
That's just part of the agreement then. So from the very beginning, that was the flow that we had.
I have no guilt for not having sex.
Okay, I want to take a break and then I have to ask a question on behalf of lots of people stemming from myself. Break.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, I know that there's a lot of women that say that when their partner, I think it, sometimes we hear it goes both ways, which I'm sure, when their partner is not having sex, they are just not in a good mood. They don't know how to like actually perform as a normal human being. And they actually have to have sex to be able to like be themselves, have fun, work and live life.
And be in a good mood.
Is that a real thing?
100%.
Why?
Well, what's your thing?
Don't you get on me.
You have to. Everybody's got their thing.
Don't you do that
thing.
Everyone's
got the thing that they have to do.
I don't want to know about my thing.
I know your thing.
No, I don't want to know about.
I know your thing.
I know what my thing is too. I don't want to know my thing. I want to, but like, okay, so like this is like, oh my God, my husband once was like, you know, went in one mood. He was like, you know, you talk, if you can just talk about anything on your podcast and like our private life. I'm like, that's kind of part of like how we created this. But anyways, when my husband,
I like that we whisper when, like she's not saying it.
When you know a man,
how, like it's not getting recorded. If we go quieter, it's not really happening.
I'm respecting his boundary. Okay. If it's at a lower octave.
So at a group of women were talking and they were saying that when their husbands don't have
good one.
Sex, like they, like they actually can't, like, it's like, it's like an animal.
Yeah.
Who's like needs to like, because I know animals are like that, right? They have to have sex. And if they don't have it, then they're not normal.
I don't know. I think, I mean, it's.
Is that acceptable?
Yes. I think it's interesting because I'm in my late 30s now. So like my understanding of sex is so different now than it even was back then. I was even describing this how during my teen years, like almost as soon as I hit 16, my drive to be penetrated was unreasonable.
Yeah.
And I didn't even like it that much. But just like I needed a dick inside of me.
I would love that feeling.
I can't relate to those drives anymore.
But was that because, oh, you don't have that drive anymore.
No.
Wait,
oh,
I just want to know.
God, they knew. But she still has drive. Don't even think she's on our team.
I have some drive, I don't have.
But do you think when you were 16, it was kind of like one of those things that's like, now you can finally drink. Okay, now you're having sex. Now I'm going to do. Well, then what was it?
It was that my coccyx fused to my sacrum and my pelvic floor was complete.
What are you saying? Is that your tailbone?
There's a reason why a one-year-old has a drive to get up and walk, right?
Yeah.
There is a biological chain of events that happen that in your development that encourages you to do things that you didn't do before, that motivates you. I remember saying that to my parents, actually, because my parents were so mad when they found out I was having sex.
At what age?
And then 16.
Okay.
Which is the average age that women have sex. And this has been consistent since they started studying it.
Dude, I was geriatric at 18. Like, I was like the last person I knew to have sex.
Sorry, though. Do you look at people now and you see them? You're like, you do that.
Yeah,
like when I see
16,
15, I'm like, wow, you look so young and you have the confidence to get naked and put something in, like naked. And
the confidence isn't even, it's the unreasonable drive. Like I had an unreasonable drive, similar to how when I was one, I had an unreasonable drive
to
jump off of things, to walk.
Like
my body was urging me. My body was ready to do this thing. And so I remember saying to my parents, you know, hey, you know, when you were so mad at me when I started having sex, when I started walking, did you push me down? Mm. Were you mad that my body had the gumption to do these things? Because for eons and eons, this is what bodies do at a certain age.
Mm.
No. You were like, this is what happens when you get a little older. And as you mature, you have drive to do different things. And so that to be said, when it comes to sex and men, one of the most interesting things that I did is I had a series where I interviewed men about their sex lives because I kind of thought it was all rinse and repeat, the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was so fascinating, the nuances of it. But the one consistent thing is almost every guy was like, I wish I could have called CPS on myself because I masturbated so much that the skin was peeling. Like their drive to come
is unreasonable.
It's unreasonable.
Yeah.
And
all
so
of them, all of them mostly. All of them.
I remember when I was a teen, don't you remember how the craziest things guys would say to you to try to get you to sleep with them?
Yeah, yeah.
They were like
desperate.
Starving beggars on the street.
Yes.
Starving beggars
on.
They will say and do anything.
Yeah.
And so if that's where the drive was at, then it's going to decline, but maybe it doesn't go to
where we are.
My husband exactly. is a starving beggar on the street.
He was 10 years
no,
ago.
No, he and is a starving beggar on the street. That's what it's like.
He can't desperate help it. For a He's hit. So hungry. So hungry. And so if you can relate to it in that capacity where it's not just something that they want to do, it's not a hobby. Like, it is a deep need. It is a drive. It is a thirst.
I feel that. But so then I have, because I'm his partner and I married him, it's like just like how he helps me out in things in life. It's part of my partnership.
It's your vagina.
It's part of my partnership to like help him with that. Like, he helps me with things.
I think if it's a part of your negotiations and that you understand that that's a part of their subjective well-being and you want them to be happy and that's the trade-off that you're willing to make. I think that's just it.
That's exactly what you said. I'm willing to make that.
Girl, I don't cook a lick and I never will. That's somebody's survival. But at the end of the day, if it comes down to it, we're microwaving something, you know? So I and my partner knew that he married that person. I wasn't the cooker and I wasn't the cleaner. So if he came to me now and
she
he's
don't
like,
cook, she don't clean. Okay.
And a friend of mine was like, her husband switched on her and was like, had a deep need to see her in the kitchen, to see her make things.
Yeah.
And she's like, this is bugging me because I don't ever want to do this and I never wanted to do this. So that's something that you can put your, you know, fork in the sand.
What do you do in that case? Because we have changed the game in our lives. Is that like a conversation you have to sit down and like negotiate and talk about? Like, if somebody has the need for either you to be back to the way you were or change?
I think it's compromise. It's compatibility.
It's life situations. Cause like, you know, if you have a sick child, an at need, like it, what goes on in your life too, like which goes back. Cause I really do think
sometimes it's just, you don't want to.
Yeah.
Right. And that's valid too. It's not, I don't have a great excuse. I just don't want to.
Yeah.
And that can be on your list of things that you just don't want to, but that's where it's like, okay, is there a compromise? Where's the middle between what you want and what I want? Sometimes there isn't one, right? Like, there's no compromise between I want kids and you don't.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's compatibility check. Okay. We're not compatible in this way. How are we willing to organize ourselves given the fact that I don't want to budge and you don't want to budge? Then there's commitment. We committed to each other. We committed to each other's subjective well-being. Sometimes that means somebody has to bend to the other person's need. It's not, there's no middle ground. It's I'm doing what's good for you or you're doing what's good for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's so, this is such an interesting conversation because the number one thing in our DMs was like, how many times a week is, and there is no answer. Like, there is no answer. Like, that's what we're saying. That's what basically the end, there's no healthy number because it's the agreement was.
But if we had to generalize, because everybody just needs to know,
am I normal
in a healthy sexual relationship? I know, and some people have more of a drive, some people don't have to have sex at all, some people, but like, if you're like sitting there and you're like, I want to make sure that I want to work on my relationship and I want it to be healthy and I want to make sure that we're like having sex. I know you're probably not gonna be able to answer this, but just please answer this. Is there like a time of
didn't Oprah ruin it all for us when she said, if you're not having sex, if you're not having sex, one of her experts was like, you're divorcing if you're not having sex.
That was like, oh, Dr. Laura Berman. Oh, she used to watch her.
You're divorced. Might as well get a divorce if you're not having sex. Like, there's no hope for you.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So what?
Crazy. So like normal, healthy, average time of month. You can say week.
Two times a week. Is the
good way to
doctor
connect.
Recommended?
Oh, I'm so glad you have an answer. That's really, thank you.
Two times a week. I think beyond that, you're not seeing a lot of benefit. So you don't have to push yourself beyond that. But I think once a week.
Yeah.
In stretches. I think reasonable. And I think two times a week is probably not the best way to look at it. It's like maybe an average of over a year span, because sometimes you go on vacation, you're having sex three times a day.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You can count those into September when you weren't having sex that much because you were getting the kids ready for school. So that's just a rough number.
I like that though. I think it's good to have one because I think that people don't know and we want an answer. And then just so that we either have something to strive for or something to feel shitty about. No, just kidding. No, I like to just know things, you know, like just...
Do you know what my favorite tip, though, is for overcoming like the mental factor
of please.
Sex?
Yes, please.
Tape yourself having sex.
Oh, fuck.
Shan, where does it fuck? I did not think you were going to say that.
You need to look back at the time because you're thinking it's taking an hour. It's 12 minutes, honey.
Thank you.
So.
Oh, like a timer. You can do a timer.
You can do a timer, too.
Yeah.
Video's great, though, because that might actually help you get into the mood. Because
watching
sometimes,
your own self?
I love watching myself.
But where do you?
Look at you. Of course you do, and you're good at it.
Where do you put the videos?
What do you mean?
Like all of our kids take your phone. Like we have, like, cloud is the worst thing that ever happened.
There's actually a company that I worked for that was called Avast, and they had something specifically designed for this, which was like a lockbox on your phone that's not even in the cloud. That you, so you delete it off the cloud, and it's just something that you store on your phone. It's like password protected.
Lots of sex videos of you and your husband.
Lots is not a great word, but actually, fun fact is that he was like, "Oh, I was masturbating to this video of you and me in Colombia," and I didn't even remember the video. So I was like, "We must do this a lot."
In fucking Colombia with a newborn fucking baby and another kid and a husband filming a show, and she's fucking.
I do think when you talk about sex, you have more sex.
Yes.
I'm going to, like, I think for when you're like, sure. When you talk about it and it's like
hanging out with divorced people, then you get divorced.
It's kind of like when you, like, you know, go to the dentist and then, like, you probably have great teeth if you're a dentist.
But I also look at good sex, not just as something that's 12 minutes at a time. Mm-hmm. Like, I look at it.
I'm looking like, for 7 minutes.
3 weeks, right? Like, I see the benefits of it long after. I think it's a big part of it too. For people who want to entice their partner to do anything their partner's not doing. Like, I always get women who are like, my partner doesn't like to do therapy, or they don't like to do love language quizzes or whatever, you know, self-help thing that they find a lot of value in, their partner's not participating. It's like, okay, well, after they take part, is there an afterglow? Do they see an immediate benefit afterwards, right? And so if your partner 100. Wants more sex out of you, but then you guys do the act, for you, it's not that great of a thing. Maybe you orgasm, maybe you don't, but it's not the big bang that it is for them. Doesn't help you go to sleep, doesn't help to relieve stress. Well, what are they manually doing afterwards to entice you to want to do it again?
That's okay. And I think about that so much when I'm like, well, first of all, those are two good points. Number one, think about all the minutes and hours in the day. 12 minutes.
It's just so unfortunate that it's so late.
Okay, well, let's just get so the 12 minutes or 7 minutes or whatever is, that's an amazing way to, I think about that.
Yeah.
And that, but that other thing is like, that's a lot of, when I do it, I do like, I do enjoy it. It's kind of like a workout. It's like, I don't want to do it. And then I do it. And it's good. But it's the afterglow. And I'm not talking about like looking like I have blush on my cheeks or him smiling. I'm talking about his behavior.
Behavior is better.
That is why, that is worth it. I need to think about that more. The after effects.
I'll say to her, I'm like, can you please just sleep with him so he's in a good mood?
Yeah.
Literally, I'm like, please. Like, let's not go a weekend where you're not sleeping with him. Like, just do it.
Just have sex with him so that, like, everyone can just be a little happier.
I'm like, let's go already. That's so okay, I know we have to wrap this up because it's 30 minutes and I could talk to you forever.
I know.
I do want to talk initiation quickly and women, and why do women feel embarrassed, or, like, what is that about initiation where it's like it's like almost like a stigma that women shouldn't have to initiate, like, what that initiation, getting to the sex, why is it so hard for so that dance that they can't actually just land the plane? Like, it's like,
tell me more. So there's women out there who want to be having sex, but they don't know how to start the sex.
I think the initiation part of sex, when we talk to tons of women, and what I hear them saying is like, they want to feel desired, but they don't want the guy just to roll over and have sex with, like, let's go. Right. So it's this thing about talking about what you want, but
that's the thing that we hear a lot is, I just, like, we have sex, but I, like, there's things that I want, but I don't know how to ask.
I don't know how to, I don't know how to feel sexy. I don't know how to get there. It's just this weird thing where I feel like the monotony rolls in, and he's horny, but she's like, but what if you, like, I'm not just going to roll over and be like, let's go. So
that initiation of
the before the penetration or the foreplay, how do you get there so you both feel
sitting and having a conversation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know that's like the.
How do you feel desirable and sexy so that you both are in a place where it feels good and it's not just like, here we go?
Esther Perel said that women's number one turn on is themselves. And so you have to answer that question for you. That's really big for me, actually, because when I got pregnant with my second, I stopped wearing makeup and I stopped doing my hair, really getting dressed, because I was always just in go, go, go mode. And so that was the one thing I got rid of. And I'm starting to bring that back now, because I'm like, I don't feel worthy of kindness all throughout the day, which is fucked up. But the real truth is, if I don't have some kind of makeup on, or I didn't put on jewelry or something, there's something in me that doesn't feel worthy of sexual attention or kindness from strangers or from my partner. So I know for me, that's something that I have to manually do for myself to get myself in the mood where I feel worthy of sex. Oh. Shaving my legs, which again is unfortunate. It's all part of the patriarchal conditioning that I should feel worthy right now. But the truth of the matter is, there are definitely times that I just feel like a sloth. And the difference between feeling like a sloth and a sex pot is not that much, but it is all contingent on my effort.
And that's you. Oh my gosh. So everyone else would be different.
I have to interrupt because that's such a good point. It's like when you look exactly the same every day, but when you look in the mirror and you think that you look pretty, it's like nothing has changed, but it's something that you did it. You have to find out what makes you feel sexy, good, happy, positive, and ready for it.
There was this experiment where this girl was told she can't look in the mirror or her reflection for 2 days. And so on the first day, they sent her out with no makeup and they said, just go out in the world. Second day, they did makeup on her, but they didn't actually. They just used brushes and like wet stuff, but it was the exact same look, essentially just cream. And they sent her out and they asked, what was the difference in the 2 days? She said, second day, people were nicer to me. I got a lot more attention. I got a lot more sexual. I got flirted with a lot more and nothing was different. It was just the way that she showed up was completely different.
That's so true. Sometimes when I'm walking down the street, I just remind myself, like, put your shoulders back and like step it up and just like own be it. There.
Be like
there.
Your energy in this white dress today has to be, I'm hot shit.
I watched a lot of your stuff in the past 24 hours and everybody looked like hot shit on there. So I thought that I...
You could have given me a heads up.
You got the heads up. Okay, I told you look amazing today.
I just... We're going to hop over and do another podcast and we'll put the link...
For all of your shit.
Because
it's like you're going to be able to fight. You're blowing up, babe.
I think she's already blown up.
But no, she's continuing. She's got a new show coming.
You're glowing.
I do have a new show coming. That's really huge. I'm really excited about it.
We all need more of you.
It's called The Marriage Pact.
Yes.
And essentially it's people, you know exactly what it is. Fill in the blanks.
No, I don't. Are you going to fucking say it? Go. I haven't seen it.
Well, the concept is people who are like, hey, if we're still 40 and we haven't found anybody, we're going to do this. And then this show is people who that due date has come up and they go on this boot camp to see like, do we actually have what it takes to make this a real thing?
Wait. Yeah, I guess I've heard that about this. Oh my gosh. Oh, because there's also a book. You know, she's a Canadian author and she just came out with a book and it's about that. And she was like, remember I told you the
set us up. We got a chat.
I know. And it was Canadian based and she ended up in like Muskoka and I showed you her and I was like, look at how pretty this author is. And this is her book and everyone's going to love it. I think my mom already, but it's exactly like that. So this is real. And this piece.
Oh, but her book is fake. Her book is fake. It's not real.
Yeah, that's right. Her book is fake. Sorry.
It's a fiction book. Yeah.
It's fiction.
About people who do this.
Yeah.
But wait,
yeah.
But yours is this really, these people did this.
These are real people who have had long-term, people who were friends since they were in high school.
And they're going to try to make it last.
Now they're going to try to
see if they have what it takes. So my brother had one of those when he was younger. Like if we
I think everyone has one of those. I don't.
Well, I had one, but we didn't like have that conversation. But in my mind, I was like, one day I would like, if it doesn't work out somewhere else, I'm gonna come get you. Life is long. I'm just kidding. But you know what I mean? Life is long. Please. I mean, come on. I didn't mean it like that.
Boundaries, Natalie. Boundaries. No. I'm joking.
But like, so these people are actually meeting up and we get to see it.
Yes.
In Colombia, but they're not Colombian.
No, but Colombia is the marriage capital of the Caribbean. So.
Like people get married there all the time?
Cartagena, in specificity. You have to go look it up. It's like the perfect wedding city.
Your brother was just in Cartagena.
I know.
Okay, he might have some stories for you. Maybe he was on my show.
He was with his wife and children.
Oh, that'd be weird.
Yeah, that would be weird.
But life is long.
Life is long. Thank you so much.
Imagine he's there. I love that. I can't wait to go watch and see if my brother's on the show.
And then he couldn't tell us because they can't tell people, right?
Exactly, Natalie.
Okay. Maybe that's what they were there for.
Exactly.